wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
A good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, Aaron as well, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Aaron. It's Blitz. Do you want to send us anything? You're more than welcome to do that. You can get in on the show. We got Mike Tannenbaum is going to be joining us, former GM for the New York Jets. He is an NFL insider for ESPN now. He's also on the 33rd team, which is a great sign up and get their emails. It's good stuff, great information. So get that. We get that here. RJ Bell is going to join us at 9:30 this morning. Mike Tannenbaum at 8, an hour from now. So we will talk to him about what's going on. He seems to think Cam Newton is a good fit for the Washington Redskins.
Dump that, Eric. Aaron, dump it, please.
You know what? And I still say San Diego Chargers.
Hey!
Now that's is that offensive?
Yes.
Is that the Whales
yes,
V? The Whales V? Can't say that?
No.
The Oakland Raiders, I'm going
to
say that.
Whoa, you need to stop.
I'm old school. Mama right. called them Oakland Raiders. I'm going to call them Oakland Raiders.
Go to National. Go to National.
You know what? I think we're going to out.
You know what?
We're going to have to serve a 3-day suspension here. You know, we'll be back on Monday.
Yeah.
I saw a comedian say, can we go home now?
I mean, it's raining. What are you going to do? Go play golf in the rain?
2 minutes in?
We could. I saw a comedian say, now. He said, I understand that the Washington football team's former name is problematic. He said, but only parts of it are. He said, can't we mix the two names and maybe call them the Washington Red People or Football Skins? Well, not Red People, but Football Skins and then...
Red Team?
Red Team. Yeah, you could call them the Red Team.
Yeah, you could call them the Red Team.
Could you call them Football Skins?
Red is in there. One of the proposed names.
Red Hawk.
No,
Red
not Red.
Or...
Yeah, they, red I don't tails. Know why they don't red like tails. The red. The red. What was the?
Well, it's the connotation of skin color of Native Americans is red.
Well, yeah. But there was a group of African American fighter pilots that were called the Red Tails.
But there was one guy who owned that name, who like is basically squatting on.
Yeah.
On the website.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Doesn't that one guy own like 60 different copyrights to all of them because he was hedging his bet?
We didn't go over the names to see what... I thought the Armada was okay. There's like 8 to 10 names.
The Presidents was
the
one
presidents
of them.
The Presidents is... I don't think that's... So, that's like the Houston Texans.
Well, you got the Senators.
The Houston Texans, the Washington Presidents.
I've got the list of all 8 finals.
Go ahead.
Okay.
The Red Hogs.
Red Hogs?
Red Hogs.
Red okay. Hogs. Well, they
yeah.
had the
that
Hogs.
That goes back to the... Yeah. That's a historical yeah. football yeah. reference, yeah.
The Defenders. That sounds like an XFL
that's
name.
That's not bad for their team. They're that does sound XFL-ish, but they do have a good defense for now.
What are the new Cleveland baseball team? Is the
Guardians, right?
Guardians. Oh, so we'd have the Defenders and the Guardians?
What about the Cleveland Hate? Like, hate is big right now in our society.
Right.
Why can't we use that as a name?
No, we can't even put that on a T-shirt and get into a baseball game. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. Not in Houston. What else, Aaron? Yeah.
The Armada.
Yeah, the Washington right. Armada. Okay. Is it a big port area?
Feels old-time.
Are they going to put in a giant big port ship city,
to my knowledge.
Like in Tampa Bay?
Is Tampa the Buccaneers?
No, but are they going to put in a giant ship and like fire cannons?
Oh, yeah.
The Armada, they could. But it's been done.
The Presidents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I mean... Disgraceful. The Brigade, the Commanders, the Red Wolves, and then just sticking with
I like the Red Wolves.
Team. Red Wolves and Commanders are okay.
Once again, the Red Wolves.
That has kind of an
XFL. The Washington Commanders.
Or a USFL feel. The Washington Commanders feels like it was a UFL team. USFL team.
Yeah.
About Houston? Are we switching?
Well, somebody told me yesterday, he said, the Redskins obviously is, that is the Indians, that is offensive, right? Well, I'm a native. If I'm a Native American, that's offensive to me. Well, I'm a Native Texan, and the Texans are offensive to me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's an easy. That's a joke you could have made if the Texans lost to Jacksonville.
Right.
It's harder to make that joke when they're winning by like two.
What?
Touchdowns.
They're not offensive anymore?
No.
No.
They're winning by two. No, and their quarterback has 112 quarterback rating. So, you know, get with
which
me.
Which Sage Rosenfeld said he was the best quarterback in the league this
Sage
week.
Made a strong comment.
That was a
yesterday.
Bit strong. Better than Tom Brady, apparently.
He thought he had
was.
The best game of any
and
quarterback
Dak,
in the league.
He was better.
Any than. Quarterback in the league. I was like, whoa, yeah. Sager.
Well, with what he's got around him, you could make that argument, I think. Sage made that argument yesterday, and you know what? We're going to believe Sage. Did you ever play? Did you ever do a helicopter in the middle of a field? No. So I'm going to go with Sage on this one.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I right?
You could.
So the Texans signed Jahlil Johnson off of the Saints practice squad, which is big news. That's something. I'm really.
Jahlil Johnson was with him the whole preseason.
Yeah, but he was kind of pissed when he got cut. So
well, it was a deep. It was actually kind of a deep position. Like we weren't sure who was going to get cut from there. So Jahlil is, you know, they sign a guy who they had already who knew. To your point yesterday, we were talking about Bo Allen because he was a Patriot, and we were going through other names. Jahlil Johnson knows the whole playbook. He knows everything inside and out. It makes sense, and they know him.
Yeah.
They know he's in shape, all that
stuff. Bring a guy that was here all summer. Right. So there's that. I'm having a real hard time with this game, this 12-point game, if you want to know the truth.
From a point spread standpoint.
From a point spread standpoint, I'm having a real tough time because giving 12 points to any NFL team is – and especially a team that looked as good as they did last week. I know the Browns looked really good. They did lose, and now they've got to get a win, and they're going to be right up there in the AFC. I understand that. But I don't know that 12 points for an NFL team is a large amount of points.
To me, I think you are going to see a complete ass kicking this week.
You do?
And I think the game being against Jacksonville was a big, big difference. You will see a well-oiled offensive machine in Cleveland. And the problem I think you have when you look at it from a matchup standpoint is Cleveland's running game is going to be much better than Jacksonville's. Their quarterback is going to be much more poised. They've got a much better offensive line. But the scary thing is they've got multiple pass rushers. And the Texans at tackle are just, I don't think, set up to slow down Myles Garrett. You know, Myles Garrett, when he's coming off the edge, against Laremy Tunsil, that's going to be a good matchup. But with Clowney, with Miles Garrett, with the way that they can move the guys around, I think Texans are going to struggle offensively, and I don't think their defense is going to hold up the same way against Nick Chubb. I think what they're set up to do is get you in, is to cause some problems if you get into third and long situations. But we're going to run and so we're going to try to stop the run. I don't think that's going to work out well for the Texans against Chubb and Hunt. So I think this one is going to be 20 points or more. I don't think it's going to be that close. I was really having problems with it too, and I'm like, wait a minute. I know who the Texans are. The Texans are a scrappy defensive unit who are not great on the back end, who I don't think are a great run defense team, but they'll get after it. They're going to try to take the ball away. But I already know offensively, they are going to struggle offensively against most defenses. So when I just realized that Jacksonville could very well be the worst team in the league again this year, it kind of opened up my mind to what could happen against Cleveland. And I hope I'm wrong on it. And I know the way the Texans played last week, it does make you pause when you see double-digit numbers just because you think, man, what if that Tyrod Taylor shows up? But Jacksonville just wasn't getting enough pressure on him. And if Cleveland does, I'm trying to project what would happen. What happens if they're not able to get on top of their opponent in the first half and play their style of offense? What if they have to play from behind? These are all things that concern me, because if they don't, they were playing from way ahead against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
What happens if they play from behind? It's a little tougher for the Texans.
Yeah, obviously. No, any team it's tougher to play from behind, especially with, you know, this receiving core and this, I mean,
but they're not. But the Texans.
This quarterback,
I don't think
this
hit.
Line, this receiving core.
Exactly. That's what concerns me the most, is that I think Cleveland can jump up on you quick.
Yeah.
If you get behind 14-0 and you start trying to change who you are or what you're doing offensively, I think you just play into Cleveland's hands.
I'm still wary of ever giving 12 points, especially to a team that looked pretty decent. I know it was against Jacksonville. It ain't that defensive front, that's for sure, of Cleveland. They're and you know, is it, what's Odell's status? Is he ever coming back, or is he doing? Is he wearing? He won't take his watch off, or what's the deal? Is he gonna ever be back on the field? Because he was in a t-shirt last week. You know that they have weapons. You're right. That is going to and Baker looked good. The running game is obviously
and
one Jedrick of the best.
Wills their tackles day to day, which is kind of interesting.
Positive. Yeah, that's a positive.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He's a good tackle.
He's a positive. We're just getting it started. We got a lot of Rockets news. You know, we were breaking down last week what the starting lineup would be, and you know, we continued to talk about John Wall. Maybe we don't have to talk about John Wall in the starting lineup, it looks like.
No.
Anymore.
Well, we do have to talk about John Wall. It's just
John
not
Wall,
in the starting lineup.
Not in the starting lineup anymore, so we'll do that. On the other side right here on ESPN 97.5
and
92.5.
When we come back, we'll dig into this because Houston now has two guys. The city of Houston now has the two highest paid players in football and basketball. Don't have to play football. Don't play their sports anymore.
Yeah, they decided they're not going to play for their
they're
team.
They're done, and and that's it. They don't have to pay but you have to pay them.
Yes, you have to pay
but
them.
But they don't have to play anymore.
Man, and it is a lot to get rid of. That's for sure. There's a lot to unpack on that on John Wall's contract. That's for sure. For any team to be picking that dude up. 7-Eleven ESPN 97.5. It's time to talk about. Well, if you're having issues. You're not feeling yourself. You're not as good as you used to be. There's a way to get better, and it's called GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John. With Roman, you get a free. If you woke up this morning feeling, you know what, I got to do something about this. There's an ongoing, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home, a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. You're going to be talking to over your computer. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. That's good. Straightforward, discreet, so nobody knows what's going on. GetRoman.com/John. No doctor visit, no pharmacy visit, all of that stuff that's kind of embarrassing you don't have to do. GetRoman.com/John. Get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now. Save $15 on your first month of treatment. GetRoman.com/John.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, the Houston Cann Academy, okay? They offer a second chance for any student who struggled in traditional high school settings. And it's their mission to provide students the opportunity to pursue their dreams while removing the barriers to keep them from attaining their education. Well, this is who carsforkids.org works with, the Houston Cann Academy. And what they do is they're out there taking your donations of your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your SUV, whether it's running or not running, and they turn that into a way to fund this program that helps kids have young people have a second chance at an education and a diploma. It's a great thing that they're doing, and you can be a part of it. And you can do that through donations at carsforkids.org. You can go to the website and donate. Or the best way to do it is just take your old car, whether it's running or not running, and donate that to carsforkids.org. They'll come out there. They'll haul it off. You're going to get a tax write-off. So this gives you a chance to write off the car and not the kid. Take your tax write-off, your $50 Visa gift card as well. When you mentioned you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, and you're doing something great with carsforkids.org.
The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Wall, major story yesterday. It looks like the Rockets have met face-to-face. Shams Charania reported this. In a meeting between Wall and the Rockets recently, Houston officials explained to Wall the direction of the franchise and that the team wants to protect the veteran guard's health. The Rockets explained that the team does not want to jeopardize Wall's fitness, and the sides agreed on the route that won't complicate his ability to continue playing at a high level. He's got 2 years, $91.7 million. And then he's the third year is a player option. That's like,
like, isn't that at that point, if you know that you're not, like, isn't that, that is theft though, right? If you knowingly take a player option, that's kind of against the law.
Well, you would hope that he'll say, no, I want to go out, get out there on the market.
I'll get on the market and test the market out.
Yeah, test the market.
A long-term deal.
Yeah, that's because I want to Who doesn't want to, you know, sign John Wall?
So I
got to
call my buddy about
deal.
This. He said, can you please get the word over to Rafael Stone? Since they're just basically giving up any and all leverage for any John Wall discussions the way that they
well,
look this, so
no,
desperate.
I'm sorry. My bad. That $47 million is the player option is the second
year. Second year, yeah. But it's a lock.
Yeah.
It's a lock. He wants
No, he's not giving up 47.
You've
got to
give
That's
him.
My bad.
For what he does, he definitely deserves $47 million. So what you, but his, my buddy's point was, can you get word over to Rafael Stone that maybe not give up so much leverage in discussions by basically saying we're going to do everything we can to get rid of him, to try to get a little something for him? And all I could say was, what do you think? Do you know how we got John Wall? There is nothing you can do with bad contracts other than dealing for bad. You know what I'm hoping for? I don't think it's. John Wall actually could go for 20-6. Like he went for 20-6, so he actually is productive when he plays. The question is going to be: is anyone like? I don't see how you do this without paying part of this deal.
When is he impacted winning?
It's been a while since Washington. It's been like four years I think since he's had an impact on winning. I don't care what they get for him, but the problem is, are you just going to take on another contract that you can't move that's even longer? It's like, what exactly do you hope to get from John Wall? What do you hope is the end result of you moving John Wall? Now, here's my thing is, why do you think they're trying to move him? You think that they think he's going to be a bad influence potentially with the young roster? Do you think it truly is about... they just want their best chance to get rid of him because no one's going to want that contract. No one's going to want that contract. Mm-mm. Do you just not want him around your young players? Do you just want to clear him out so that he's just taking
up minutes that, you know.
Yeah, so you think it's just purely a basketball thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you want Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor? Yeah. 100%.
I didn't know if he's a good mentor. I don't have a problem with him if he's a good mentor.
For $91 million?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. You can't do anything.
That's an expensive mentor.
Yeah, but no one else wants him.
Yeah, right.
So it's like you already traded for him. He's yours.
Well, I've heard buyout, too. I mean,
it's still money that you're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
None of this gets out of the money.
When Daryl put you in this position, you're not getting out of it. What did you want to get?
Did Daryl do that or did?
Yeah, Daryl put you in this position with the Russell Westbrook contract. And before that, with the Chris Paul contract.
Didn't Rafael Stone trade? I'm trying to remember. Didn't Rafael Stone trade? Trade for John Wall.
What about the Chris Paul contract?
No, I understand all that, but
well, then you had to pick up Russell Westbrook.
See, did you have to pick up?
Yeah,
Rafael. Did you have to trade for John Wall?
Well,
that's gross.
Well, what else were you going to do? Russell Westbrook didn't want to be here. Nobody wants to be here.
And the Houston just rolls over. I just don't want to be here. No. Here's a giant sack of money, please. Please don't do anything.
Well, now,
Deshaun's like, okay, all right.
What would be nice now? Well,
they had to just call it
honestly,
Houston sack of monies.
Yeah, honestly, the best thing would be just buy him out so that you don't take on another bad contract and have another guy sitting
around. Honestly, you're right. What's the difference between getting a second round pick or I would rather not have a crappy deal? But Tillman Fertitta, that's just going to be a lot to say, listen.
Well, that's the cost of doing business.
Would you agree to a buyout for $60 million?
When they agree.
We'll give you $60 million up front. He's going to be like, I've got kids to think about here, getting them through college. $60 million is not enough.
All of this is a byproduct of giving Chris Paul that second contract.
It's where it all started.
That's where it started. Because they couldn't. He wouldn't have come here unless they said, we're going to make you a max guy. That's where this all started, and now you're paying for the sins of the Daryl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Daryl had to do that, and that was done. You really want to know the truth? That was done before they even traded for Chris Paul. It was a wink and a nod agreement that you'll get an extension afterwards.
Yes.
So that deal was done in like 2000 and what, 16? No, 2000, early 2017 when they traded for Chris Paul. That's when that deal was done.
Mm-hmm.
James's inability to play with anybody, and then he got moved out of here. James is where, frankly, it was Russell Westbrook still had value. It was a bad contract, but he still had value because he still could perform. Russell could still perform on teams that went to the playoffs. And so when you look at Russell Westbrook, you gave that up for John Wall, which was like literally a dead contract. Why? because Russell didn't want to play James anymore. He didn't like the fact that James would go off to Cabo in the middle of a week and all that stuff when the season's going on. He didn't want to play with – he liked James as a friend. He didn't want to play with him anymore. And so, you know, what Daryl and Tad let – and I'm saying Tad because – and I guess you could say maybe Les and Tillman Fertitta as well. They bear the burden of this because they let James have all this power and decide who he was going to play with and who he wasn't going to play with. And when he became the petulant, angry kid from Twilight Zone from back in the day in that movie, where you were always afraid that James was going to make your mouth go shut and you couldn't open your mouth anymore,
right?
With his special powers, then they just let James do whatever he wanted. And so, Chris Paul's got to go. So now you got a bad deal. Oh, Russell Westbrook's got to go. Now you got a worse deal. What are you going to do now? Can you make it worse from Russell? Because if you take on if you get rid of John Wall, what in the world is the other team going to give you for that? Worth two contracts of players that are average players, but they're 3-year deals, so you're actually in it longer?
Yeah, no. Like
the buyout.
There's nothing because for Russell Westbrook, you got this.
But Tillman wants to chunk a $70 million agreement out there. Like, here's $70 million not to play. The guy was hemorrhaging during COVID. You think that he's going to want to buy out 91 point whatever million?
Well, it turned out he didn't do all that badly. The NBA teams didn't do all that badly.
Well, I'm talking about his business.
And his businesses, they're bouncing back. I mean, you know what? If that's the price of doing business in the NBA. You wanted to buy an NBA franchise. You paid $2.2 billion for an NBA franchise. Guess what? This is what you get. There are plenty of teams that have bought out guys. I mean, we see it all the time.
Yeah, but I don't think for this amount. Well, and once again, we're saying buyout. He hasn't – is he even allowed to opt into that amount of money? You can't opt in yet to that contract yet, that year yet, can you? Or can you opt in early?
Well, whatever. You buy him out and then – no. Well, you can buy him out for the whole thing and come to an agreement on what it is and say, here, John Wall, now go work somewhere else. Here's 70, 75 million, whatever it is, and go work somewhere else.
Now, if somebody would take on – if you could trade him and say, we'll kick
in – and you get to go to a good team, finally.
If you could kick in –
he's never been on a good team.
Which good team is that?
You don't think the Lakers would take John Wall?
No.
Oh, I do.
It'd be the stupidest thing ever. Honestly – John Wall played, 40 games last year out of 72?
You don't have to pay him. You don't have to pay him anything. Are you kidding? The Lakers are looking for any scrap heap all over the time.
You're only saying that if John Wall gets like a majority of both years. And once again, he has to opt into that other year. I don't know if he can do it early or not. Right now, he's contractually obligated to whatever it is this year, 40, however many million, 30, high 30s?
No, it's 40.
This year?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's what you're contractually obligated for. So that would be the payout.
Yeah, this year's 44-3.
That would be the payout. Or if you're able to get a team to take him there, yeah, then John Wall's just – that's what I want to know. If you trade him beforehand – well, if you trade him beforehand, another team could – no, because then they've got the opt-in. They know that they're – basically, you're trading – you're trading 90-some-odd million. Yeah. You don't have to pay him that amount. So that's why they're trying to trade him, is because they want to get rid of $90 million, even though he's only 40-some-odd million on the cap.
And guess
right
what?
Now.
Your cap is 44 on that deal.
Yeah.
Your cap is exactly what it is. That's his base salary. That's what you got to pay. Wow. Unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
They're trying to sign Dante Exum, too. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised at all if Eric Gordon is gone, that they somehow, some way are going to work out a deal to get rid of that $19 million. I wouldn't be surprised. You know,
Gordon has value, though.
Gordon,
although he gets hurt all the time too.
Yeah, what's the guy? Is it $19 million a year? No, his value is not $19 million a year. I can certainly see a world where you're just going to see first, second, and third year players. I'm hearing more and more about Christian Wood not being. Hey, there's a chance that Christian Wood isn't on this team this year. Getting what you he signed a 3-year deal. You got 2 years left on that, and apparently he's not a great guy with his teammates. That's a little disheartening, because that guy's got the talent to be a long term, high dollar guy for an organization. But apparently, it's multiple sources are saying he's just not the best of teammates, And that's a bad thing when you got an extremely young team like the Rockets have.
John Wall, according to Yossi Gozian, an NBA salary cap expert and consultant, contributor for Hoops Hype, says John Wall has played a total of 40 games on his super max deal. If he runs out the contract without playing another game on it, he'll have earned $4.2 million per game on the deal. If he were to give back, as an example, $25 million in a buyout, he'll still have earned $3.65 million per game.
That's just good
money.
So
in a buyout, so that's basically, good money. If you're 91, and 81, 71, so you say $65 million. That's what, because that's about the number.
And how much has Justin Verlander made in the last 2 years for one start?
Same.
$66 million.
Same.
$66 million.
Same.
What?
So the highest buyout in the history of the NBA was Bison DeLay in 1997, $31.7 million.
Oh, he'd pass that. How about a record setter?
He retired though. Now the actual full on the team saying, "You know what? Here's your money. Go away. We don't want you." Was Larry Sanders, who got $21.9 million from the Bucks.
Guess what?
Because Steve Francis got $30 million from Portland, if I remember correctly, well over a decade ago, and then the Rockets took him on, and he couldn't play. But Steve got, I want to say, $30 million buyout from the Portland Trailblazers. if I remember correctly, I think that was the number.
Well, whatever the case.
$10 million a year.
Whatever the case, we're setting records here this year. We're setting records here if they buy John Wall. I don't think there's any question about it. Woohoo! We're going to have a buyout parade. 728 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Astros.
What's a buyout parade?
Well, we're going to set a record, okay? We're going to be the best ever in buying people out. So we're going to have a parade. When we come back, the Astros got their ass kicked. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Yeah, it was gross.
But first, you need to talk about being the Astros were the underdog.
I don't know if I was a dog or not, but I was a winner the other day. I got wait a minute. What do I have? Oh, yeah, I played some extra drafts. So I've already got, let's see, I've got results. I've got my live. I'm looking at my drafts for this week in Daily Fantasy. And it's with Underdog Fantasy. I've got games. I've already got the head-to-head matchup going again in the Thursday night game between Washington and New York Giants. You can play Thursday night matchups with you draft four players, flex players. You can play two-man drafts, three-man drafts, six-man drafts. You can get into the big contest that they have going on right now, the Thursday night Rumble, where the prize is worth $50,000 to $10 entry. There's single games, there's weekends, and there's also what's really cool, the pick 'em contest. Right now, you think Terry McLaurin will have more than 71.5 yards or less. Deami Brown, 32.5 yards receiving. Logan Thomas, 49.5. Saquon, 48.5 rushing yards. That continues to go down. If you think he goes over that, you fire that into your pick 'em, your pick 'em plays, and all you have to do is 2 to 5, anywhere from 2 to 5. And, for example, if you go 5 players and you hit their over-unders, 20 times your original play. A $10 play will get you $200, and that's with the Pick'em feature on UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code RADIO, and you're going to get a $25 bonus into your account on your first deposit. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code RADIO.
ESPN 97.5. Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 732 ESPN 97.5. That was a gross game yesterday. I think you put it really well before we went to break. The Astros got their ass handed to them. 8-1 was the final. Greinke... not looking good, back off COVID, understandable. He hadn't pitched in a while. He threw batting practice pretty much to one of the worst teams in baseball. That's not a very significant lineup that they're trotting out there every day. But they are a thorn in the Astros' side, that's for sure. The Astros had their way with the Astros earlier this season in Texas. Astros kicked their ass for 15-1 the other night and then lose 8-1. You know, it's kind of a big deal. Urquidy throw well. If you had your druthers right now, or if Dusty gave you the playoff lineup, if he lets you set the rotation for the playoffs, what would it be right now?
It's weird how this is changing like every week.
I know, right? I don't think there's any question.
Not finding the strike zone anymore.
I think it's no question. It's McCullers.
I was going McCullers. McCullers is my one. Greinke's my four, I think. I've probably Fromber two, Garcia three. No, I put Garcia four.
You'd put
Greinke three, yeah. Just out of respect to Greinke and
what
I think he can do when he's on. He's been in those situations. Garcia has never even pitched this many innings, not to mention postseason. So I think I would go Fromber two, Greinke three, Garcia four. I think that's how mine would look. Odorizzi, I'd have out of the rotation. I mean, I'd have out of the playoff roster. I'd have Urquidy as a swing starter if I need him. Between that and the bullpen, Christian Javier there. And I'd probably go with bullpen guys, actually, in the bullpen. You know, tighten it up. I don't know who gets kicked out. Probably Brooks Raley. I'd probably kick Brooks Raley out of there. But, yeah, I think those would be the four. You can mess around with where you want to put guys two through four, though. How would you do it?
I would go, McCullers, Fromber, Greinke, and then probably Garcia. Garcia's got to pick it up. We'll see if Urquidy pitches well down the stretch. Hey, who's ever throwing well when it comes? But it's going to be McCullers, Fromber, Greinke, one, two, and three.
You think it's going to be, or that's how you would do it?
I think it's going to be.
You think it's going to be?
It's going to be.
They may have to manipulate it. How they start, guys.
Well, it may, because it's coming down to the wire. You only have a game lead on the White Sox, and you definitely want that home field advantage.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it may come down to the last. If it is manipulated, then if Fromber starts game one, okay. If it's Greinke in game one, we'll see. If he starts throwing well down the stretch, I mean, that's his first game back, so we certainly can't. But Greinke has been... He's been good. He hasn't been great this year. That's the most worrisome part about this team right now is, especially if they go into another one of their many slumps, they're going to have to hit to win this thing. There's no question. They're going to have to hit to win this thing. It's nice that you're not – I mean, the White Sox can throw some arms now, too. We saw it at the end of the last – they beat them 5 out of 7, but we've seen it. By the way, it's more like a two-game lead because the Astros, if they tie for best record, the Astros own the season series 5-2. So the Astros would have home field advantage, but they can throw some arms now.
Can throw some bats.
Yeah, well, Carlos has said that his toughest guy on him is Lance Lynn. That's the toughest guy on him.
Rondon
is
season.
You know, they can bring it with their starters, and they've got a lineup that is almost as good as the Astros lineup, and some would argue when they're healthy could be better than the Astros lineup. So. That's not going to be easy.
Do they have a Jose Siri?
No, they have a Jose Abreu.
Okay, but do they have a Jose Siri?
No, okay. They don't.
Can you name me a time when Jose Siri's been thrown out trying to steal a base? Never. Well, I'll help you out there. Home runs, stolen bases.
Well, yeah, he's a
power, speed, five tools.
Yeah, he's
case closed. Next up.
No, he's got five. He's got five or six tools.
Next up.
Yeah,
he's a five tool player.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's got a lot of tools. There's no question. I don't think there's any question about that. But he also is, probably not going to be playing when the postseason gets here. So there's that. There's that problem that with your little theory about that. 713-780-3776, if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I want to swing over for a second, away from Astros for a second, to something that happened in the NFL. Did you see what happened to Greg Lewis, running backs coach for the Kansas City Chiefs?
No.
When they took on the Browns? So Ronnie Harrison.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so Ronnie Harrison was over there. Greg Lewis, Ronnie Harrison was there.
He stomped on the player out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why Greg Lewis pushed him like that to get him off of there. But Ronnie Harrison then pushed him back. And so now J.C. Tretter, who's the player rep, for the league, he jumped out and said, as a player, he jumped in and said, hey, we better be holding Greg Lewis. Well, he's also plays for the Browns. I mean, he's a bigwig there. He said, we better see Greg Lewis held to the same standard. Do you think Greg Lewis should be held to the same standard? Because he did put his hands on an opposing player and push him. He got a pretty good push in on him.
It's an interesting situation. For those of you who don't know, they were over at the sidelines. Harrison made the stop, pushed him out of bounds. He was on the ground. Harrison stomped him, stomped the chief. I forget who was it. Tyreek, was it? Who was it that he stomped? I forget. Anyway, he stomped him. The assistant coach, Greg Lewis, came over, pushed Harrison. Harrison pushed him back. Harrison got thrown out of the game. And this was the first. This was in the first quarter. This was early in the football game, and got tossed from the game. And it's interesting. And he didn't get tossed for pushing Greg Lewis, though. He got tossed for stomping on the player.
Oh, is that what he got tossed
for? Yeah.
Who was it? It was Tyreek.
Was it Tyreek?
Yeah, and it was pretty ratty. Like an argument on Twitter is let the players handle that. Because in baseball we talk about that players can handle things. If they want to hit somebody, they can throw a ball at somebody and hit somebody. In hockey, they have players who fight whenever they got an issue with something. The thought was that the players could have handled that whole thing. Now, was it intentional? As I watch it, he lifts his leg up and the knee comes up from Tyreek Hill on the ground, and his leg gets caught up. I don't think he stomped on him on purpose, honestly. I really don't. The more I watch this, I think it was from the angle I see now. It's more, I think he was trying to step over him and got, now maybe how he got off, like once his foot slid down, when it hit the top of the knee, when he's trying to get his leg over, it slid down onto Tyreek. But I would have thought that Kansas City players would have jumped in, but I guess there weren't a ton of Kansas City players around, and Greg Lewis is one who tried to push him out. I don't know how.
Well, it was the Kansas City bench, so there were a ton of them around.
No, but in the situation, there's really not. It's all coaches. Like, it's all coaches doing it. You can see that there's not a bunch of players around right here. It's just four different people in red, Kansas City Chiefs stuff. And
well, the 52 is right there. So is
watch his right foot here. It looks 45 like he
right there. 52 is right there. 52 is standing with him.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't do anything. But do you agree that maybe I think this is this is how I feel about this. It's an unfortunate deal. That's a no call to me.
Really?
That's a let him play. Yeah, I know the hands on a coach. I think there's maybe a fine. I wouldn't have kicked them out. I maybe have a fine, maybe for both of them, keep your hands off each other.
Well, I don't think that was, I think the stomp was what got him kicked out.
Yeah, but J.C. Treader said, no, but the point is Greg Lewis.
I know. He pushed the player. Right.
As well.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that, I think the coach could face discipline and maybe should. I don't know about the same as Harrison, because Harrison stomped the player and pushed him back. Maybe whatever fine there is for pushing a player and the player pushing back, then okay.
No suspensions are. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network says no suspensions are.
Then if there's no suspensions, then he is getting the same as Harrison. Nothing.
But Harrison got kicked out of a game.
But he did kick
a starting safety.
Yeah, but against the Chiefs. Again, it wasn't for pushing the coach, it was for stomping the player.
But looking at it, I don't know that I would call that stomping the player. Was there a 15-yard penalty thrown there?
I would imagine.
Because you can't eject somebody for something you didn't even call.
I would imagine there was. I forget at the time what happened, but that's what got him kicked out. Because they did see the coach push him first. Whatever the case may be, of course Treader is going to say that. It's his teammate.
Yeah, right.
It's his teammate.
Well, it's a player. He's a player rep.
Yeah, 742 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Mike Tannenbaum joining us top of the hour right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You don't want to miss that. Right now, though, you don't want to miss talking about Craig DeServe.
Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they're out in Angleton. And that short little drive, I say it's short, like it's about 42 minutes. It's a drive, though, that I make gladly. When I have had issues with my vehicle, I haven't had issues with it. When I got hit by a uninsured driver, I went there for the collision stuff. Their collision stuff was great. When it came time to get my wife a vehicle, we went there and we went from the Acadia, which is a great crossover vehicle, to the Traverse, because she really liked the way my Traverse looked and handled and the space we had inside for our kids. The great thing is they got purchase allowances going on right now for trucks. It's truck month right now. So if you're a truck guy, a truck girl, this is the place for you to go. Just know this, that you can shop online at LanceZCars.com. You can see all the different vehicles they have in inventory. And the great thing is they've got a listing of all the different customer cash back and purchase allowances available, and their customer service is second to none. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. Shop online. Get it started at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:46, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776. Not a lot of headlines from yesterday. Jahlil Johnson is a Houston Texan again. They signed him off the Saints practice squad, so he is going to take a spot there for Vincent Taylor, who was injured in the game. So there's that. Eight Saints have tested positive.
Yeah, but only one player is on that list, and that's Mike Thomas, who's not. You have six offensive coaches, Mike Thomas, and then a nutritionist. So up to this point, right now, it's not an issue with players yet that we know of, but that is a scary number, because you're looking at, from a timeline standpoint, you're looking at, okay, well, we better be ready to bring some practice squad people up to play if this is going to be the case. COVID's going to be an issue this year. At some point, it's going to be an issue for a team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because there's no way they're not going to be as – say that. I mean, the NFL might still be as diligent. Maybe the teams are, but because they realize if we get a whole quarterback room, we're going to be like Washington. Was it Washington last year?
No, Denver.
Yeah, we're going to be like Denver last year. Yeah. We can't have that happen.
No. Can't have that happen. And speaking of coaches, so there is a list, and I don't know why, but there's a list of the best play callers in the NFL. And ranking the best play callers by Seth Trockman. You know Seth? Seth Trockman? No?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, Seth, this comes from this is Yard Barker's NFL. Best play caller, he says, is Andy Reid. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's very inventive. He's been...
No problem with that.
I think this is... Sean Payton is the second best.
Sean Payton would have to be up there.
Yeah, but I mean, especially after what
for
happened
years
this week.
Years and years.
Especially what happened this week. Sean McVay is third on this list. Okay, Kyle Shanahan.
Kind of reputation. I think Shanny's probably better than McVay.
Maybe. Shanahan. LaFleur, both of them got to the Super Bowl.
And let me guess, LaFleur and Stefanski are up there.
LaFleur is next. McDaniels is after that.
Josh, okay.
Reich, Stefanski,
mm-hmm.
Gruden, who did a pretty good job the other night.
I thought he did a really good job.
Great job.
I thought Derek wasn't.
Where would you rank Tim Kelly?
Right now, he's in the bottom third, but I thought he had a good game the other
day.
Well,
why would he be in the bottom third? You had Deshaun Watson having his best year ever last year. He was amazing. Led the league in passing after they get rid of DeAndre.
Did you feel limited?
I feel like Tim Kelly.
Did you feel like they were scoring a lot of points, though?
Yeah, I thought that they did a really nice job last year.
I don't...
with the league's worst defense.
Now, there's no question about that. I didn't come away from... I don't think he's a bad play caller, like a lot of people say. You got to remember, though, he didn't call the plays all the time. Bill O'Brien took over for a little bit, and then Tim Kelly got it back again.
O'Brien was only here for four games.
I mean, so, they're also behind the whole time. They're throwing the whole time. How'd they run the ball? Did he call it, like, if we're going to say,
yeah, how'd they run the ball with David Johnson? Not well. Not really well.
Like, well, yeah, but, well, he averaged over 4 yards carry, but it was, Deshaun also, as we know, creates a lot of yards for himself beyond the play call.
Was the first three games where Bill O'Brien was gone, Texans scored 30, 36, overtime loss to Tennessee. They scored 20, they scored 27. Cleveland, they didn't score. They only scored 7 points. Then they scored 27, then they scored 41. And that was our game. Four of those seven are wins. 20, they got their ass kicked at Chicago. We saw that. 20, they scored 31 and then 38 to finish up the season.
They scored that?
They scored
that. Yeah, that's pretty good scores.
No, that's pretty good scores.
Pretty good scores.
And after Bill O'Brien was out of
the... I still think, I mean, who are you putting them ahead of?
Well, there are plenty of guys you can put them ahead of.
I don't know that.
Arthur Smith such a great play caller? Give the ball to Derrick Henry.
So what's, I mean, Art, look no, how no, deep no. Art, you get penalized for, here's what I like as play callers. When you know something works and you do it. You know what I don't like? Play callers who are cute and tricky. Yeah. I don't like those play callers.
Byron Leftwich, Buccaneers.
Byron Leftwich, the Super Bowl winning OC?
Yeah, no. He won the Super Bowl and he had Tom Brady. And
so like, you punish
him? Unbelievable. No.
But you give bonuses
I'm not putting Tim Kelly ahead of Greg Roman. Okay.
No, there's nobody. That's what I'm saying. That's not even a slam to Tim Kelly.
Matt Nagy? Matt Nagy doing?
I mean, he didn't do great with them, but I would also say, who's your quarterback? Mitch Trubisky then? If we're going to say,
well,
if you
who's,
get
your,
credit,
who's your running backs and who's your...
But if you get credit for, and he had offensive line injuries a lot of the year. If you get, what I'm saying is, you can't take away credit because a guy has a good player, like Derrick Henry, and then give credit because a guy doesn't have
14th,
a good player.
He's got Daryl Bevel. The Jaguars offensive coordinator.
Well, that's for work he's done previously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim Kelly to me, you can't take a guy who I don't think you can take Tim Kelly with his limited background as a play caller and put him inside the top 20. I just think there's too many established play callers in there. But that's not to say that I don't think Tim Kelly has a chance to be a pretty decent play caller. I liked what he did. At times last year, I liked what he did on Sunday. I think he's got a shot. Most of these guys you're talking about have a lot of, like even Matt Nagy, he got the job because of his background as a play caller.
Well, yeah.
And he might be a better play caller than he is a head coach.
Jason Garrett, Giants offensive coordinator.
Oh, ooh. Ahead of Tim Kelly?
Way ahead of Tim Kelly. He's got him 18.
I don't know if
he's
can get
Joe
there.
Brady. How did Joe Brady do last year for the Panthers?
You know, a lot of this, though, cannot be, it's going to be related to performance, but a lot of this, play calling really is about, to me, play calling is about how can you maximize your personnel that you have on your team, how do you create exploitive matchups against the opponents, and do you keep them on the back foot or on the front foot? Because if they're on the front foot, then they're an attacking team, they don't fear you, and they're coming after you. But if they're on the back foot, meaning there's some misdirection in there, and they're not sure what's going to happen. That's a good play caller to me.
I agree.
I think Joe Brady will end up being a good play caller.
I do too. I think he was great at LSU. That was a different deal. They out talented most everybody they played against. But here's the deal. I think that Tim Kelly is ranked 27th on this list just because he's a Houston Texans offensive coordinator.
Yes, I think that's probably accurate.
I mean, because every list that you have. Is just about, oh, well, it's the Texans, so they got to be, you know, bottom five or worse. I think Tim Kelly has done a hell of a job. First of all, last year, look at his weapons. He lost Will Fuller for much of the year. He had Randall Cobb, Kiki QT, Brandon Cooks. I mean, he had David Johnson as his running back.
Yeah, but you don't get bonus points for having
bad players. Well, you should, because
players.
If you do score points with those guys, if you're undermanned against teams and you do well, then you should get points for that.
Do you get, knowing what Deshaun Watson does on his own, like how do you credit an offense coordinator for Deshaun plays?
Well, how much does he get credit for Tyrod this week?
I think he gets a lot of.
How much does...
Tyrod didn't do it as much as Deshaun.
Okay, well, you want to talk about off-schedule, Baltimore.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Holy crap. Roman's getting all the credit for Lamar.
Here's the difference. They have altered their offense. Like, there's literally been play designs, and they've altered the offense for Lamar Jackson. They created a triple option offense for him to take advantage of his strengths. I think they've also done a good job with creating a passing game that lets him throw into the seams as opposed to out on the perimeters where he's a little less. I think Greg Roman has done a really, really good job with Lamar. But you do know that he will go off schedule from time to time. Oh. And that's a benefit. Like, once again, I don't know that you should get tagged for a quarterback who goes off schedule. This is – play calling is such a tricky thing to me because we as fans really have no idea – about what it is that they're doing.
We just setting up, right.
What is your, you know, are you attacking the defense? You know who could tell you who's a good play caller? Sage Rosenfels. Sage can watch tape and he can see what's been called. He can see the coverages. He knows who, where the reads are typically going to be and what the throw. It always pisses me off when people would say, Bill O'Brien is a pretty, was in general a pretty good play caller. Was known as a pretty good offensive mind. Well, what about Bill O'Brien's calling bad plays for Deshaun Watson? What? But what about when he, when good things happen and he scored 50 points? Well, that's Deshaun making magic. Deshaun is, Deshaun's making plays. Were those Bill plays? Well, but that's Deshaun is doing just. Well, what about when Deshaun has a bad game? Well, it's the play calls, obviously. Right. Well, but do you understand that there are reads on level passing attack where Deshaun has to make reads on level one and level two throws based on linebackers or safeties, level two and level three? Like, we can't know that stuff
cases. No, we can't, but we do. But we do know, like, the other night...
We can have opinions,
Well, the
obviously.
Other night, Sammy Watkins is lined up against Kwiatkowski. And how in the world are you, first of all, designing a defense where Kwiatkowski is covering Sammy Watkins?
Just personnel. It's,
well, that's right. And so, and you know what? They hit Sammy Watkins. He gets down to the two-yard line. And, that's a great... You know what? That's a great play call. Or it's great that the quarterback recognized that. Or you set it up so that, we've got, look at this matchup that
man,
we got.
If they're man, we've watched their tendencies defensively. We think Kwiatkowski is going to be in coverage on the slot. So if we get man, I've heard the Jets are going to put Eli Moore in the backfield this year because they know it's going to create matchup situations for him, which is great. But they probably said, okay, if it's man, we got this match, this man-to-man. And if it's a zone, you know, if they line up and it ends up being a zone and he just drops, then the read's going to be over here. So right off the snap, you got pre-snap motion that tells you if it's man or zone, and it's going to be up to you. The play is designed, and then it's up to Lamar Jackson to recognize man zone.
Right.
And if Lamar doesn't recognize quickly, he'll go to the wrong read, and then it's like, well, play call sucked. That play call was terrible.
No.
What if Lamar went to the wrong read?
But a lot of the times, listen, just being able to watch and close up with JT and his coach, Coach Hill, there was a lot of times he goes, okay, this is going to be the play, and this guy's going to be open. And sure enough, that guy was open because he designed it
Knowing tendencies and knowing the design, like play designers.
Mike Tannenbaum's coming up. We got to take a break.
Okay, yeah.
713-780-37. Well, Mike Tannenbaum's going to join us on the other side. You don't want to miss that right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.